morning and welcome. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. It is 9:07. 9 o'clock stretch begins. Your time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Law enforcement in the house. We have Sheriff Sadie Darnell here, the Alachua County Sheriff. Also, Kerry Gallup. He is our crime prevention officer and a backup public information officer. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much. We're happy to be here to have the opportunity. You've got a wide reach with your show across several counties, so I wanted to come by and give an update of what we're planning to do from a North Central Florida Sheriff's standpoint, and also an update as of this morning from the State Emergency Operations Center.
In a lot of cases, Lieutenant Brett Rodenizer, of course, people recognize his voice because he's also a PIO. He also flies helicopters, and apparently that's what he's doing right now for the Florida National Guard and helping and being deployed to help with folks that need help because of this hurricane.
Well, he has been deployed. He was done that earlier in the week. He's not flying. He is in the back of a Black Hawk. He is commanding about 5 aviation units for the National Guard. So he got promoted here at the local level. He got a step up on the National Guard level. So he's missing the flying, but he's directing a lot of flights over the area. They'll be doing disaster assessment and mitigation needs and those kinds of things. But we're very proud of Brett and what he's doing. And what we're all doing in law enforcement and public safety and utilities to get people back to normal, hopefully as soon as possible.
I guess we should start with the assessment locally. What have you seen in terms of roadways, flooding, issues related to the storm at all?
Fortunately, just minimal. There is some still damage left over from last year with Hurricane Irma. There's still some bridges out. We had our deputies, Captain Blizzard with our patrol area, had our deputies on every shift go to some of the areas that were targeted and have frequent flooding issues early in the week so we could monitor that and make sure we could keep our communication center notified about the ingress and egress potentials or any obstructions for primarily public safety, but also for citizens. As you know, Turkey Creek has a flooding situation, Paynes Prairie, Robin Lane, and also Hills of Santa Fe and some of those areas we wanted to keep a early watch on. And fortunately, as much as I know, there's been no flooding in those issues. We are monitoring it, though, for at least the next 72 hours because the rivers are going to rise, and some of that may have some residual effects here in Alachua County.
Yeah, and Paynes Prairie is kind of a flowing issue, and you were telling me earlier we don't really know the full impact for a while.
We won't. It's Paynes Prairie and some of those areas I mentioned are saturated from last year and, of course, this rainy year that we've had. So if any of the rivers rise and we have some residual effects, it's going to be a problem, but we're prepared. We're watching it and keeping an eye on it.
Are you in a position to offer any assistance to some of the surrounding counties or coastal counties that right now are, like many, undermanned, understaffed, and under extreme pressure right now because of the hurricane?
We are in touch with the State Emergency Operations Center. The Florida Sheriff's Association is one of the most coordinated and powerful Sheriff's Association in the nation. I had a call this morning and also last night from our president of our association, Mark Hunter, over in Columbia County. He is gearing up. The North Central Florida Sheriffs will be preparing as we speak to mobilize probably this afternoon and send numerous personnel up to the area. We're targeting for our purposes Gulf County. They have been particularly hard hit. We're coordinating that through the state EOC, but we'll be mobilizing some deputies, maybe some of our communications personnel. They are having some significant communications issues. We're so dependent on our cell phones and the internet. That coverage is down in a lot of areas, so we're going to have to go back to the hardwire standard communication that actually we're shoring up here in our area. That's a story for another day, but we are all gearing up, Columbia County, Marion County, Gilchrist County to some extent, maybe Dixie probably not because they've got their own issues. Levy, as you know, is heavily impacted. They probably won't be going, I'm sure they're not. And then some of the other areas, Hamilton and others that can add some resources. We're going to form a convoy and we're going to head up that way, likely, like I said, this afternoon for a duration of at least 2 weeks, maybe longer. But we're going to have food provisions, insect repellent, and all those kind of basic needs for our people to get up there. Hit the ground running and be self-sustained for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, obviously you want to be self-sustained because there might not be availability of stuff, and then you don't want to be a burden. You're there to help. So
absolutely.
You forget all that, that you have to come ready to go and prepared on your own.
We're going to take some probably four-wheelers and some of our vehicles that can go through any kind of terrain. We're making an assessment right now through the statewide emergency operations center to see what their needs are, and then we'll gear up based upon what we have. We'll piecemeal between us, but I think it's a great message for North Central Florida sheriffs to send, and then to go up there together, build some team building, and also put all our resources together and do some good.
Well, that's exactly right. And it also reminds me that, you know, we need some, you know, a sense of we need redundancy on some of this stuff that you don't realize that we have become way too reliant on cell phone towers. And when they're down and all of a sudden, you know, we're sitting ducks, the public feels the same way. You know, they can't communicate. Emergency workers, first responders, if they can't communicate, We're in trouble, and hopefully those are things that are going to be addressed in the future, right?
We were very fortunate here in Alachua County, so to show our gratitude and pay homage to our gratitude, we're going to do whatever we can for the needs of the Panhandle folks and work together to do it.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's a brotherhood and sisterhood, and when some folks are in need, you guys respond, and then should we find ourselves in a position where we need some help, they'll respond as well. We know the power companies do a great job with that, the way they the give and take, and that makes a huge difference.
I want to say also that Ed Bolarski was at some of the meetings. He's our local director of GRU. They take some hits sometimes, but boy, when we need them, and they're gearing up and already sending people up there and getting power back and taking care of those power lines that are down are the priority right now. Search and rescue is going to be you know, part of that once we know that it's safe to go in and do what we can. But Governor Scott was, again, on target with this. He called me in earlier in the week as I'm sure he did the other sheriffs that were declared to have an emergency and talked to us individually to make sure that he knew what we needed. He got the utility companies and fuel companies geared up last year during Hurricane Irma. Excuse me. He's done the same thing this time. So Florida is well situated from that standpoint.
Yeah, well, we remember when people were evacuating South Florida and how inundated we were here. You forget, oh, the hurricane might not really impact us, but yes, it does. We have an interstate running through our backyard, and so it will anytime there's going to be traveling going north or south, and we know. We waited in line for gas. The locals did.
Right.
So, yeah, there's definitely an impact there. Carrie, if I can bring you into the equation a little bit, since you're the expert with the crime prevention, what do people do when they have to leave their property? They're asked to evacuate. They can't wait to get back to it, but they're worried, you know, there's going to be looting or loss of some important things that they can never get back.
Well, I'd like to tell people, first off, focus on your own livelihood, keeping safe yourself. That's really what's most important right here, is that when we get out, we can count our lives and know that we're here and we're ready to go back and rebuild. Second thing is, obviously, people are usually in a very big rush to get out, to get to that safe location, may forget things like turning off certain electronical appliances that could be shocked through electrical surges, locking extra doors and windows and locks that maybe they don't normally lock between their garages and their houses. Obviously, we look at things like safeguarding the house with boarding windows and making sure things are as safe as possible. But ultimately realizing that if you can get out and get to a safe place, that's where the value really is.
Yeah, and then you worry about the rest later at a later, safer date. That sounds reasonable. Carrie Gallup is here, and also the sheriff is here, Sadie Darnell from Alachua County Sheriff's Office. And we're going to continue talking about the hurricane, the aftermath, the help that's needed. And we also want to touch on some other things, including trunk or treat and some ceremonies and awards, et cetera. That's all coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
The Sky.
9:22 on the Bob Rose Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's the aftermath of Hurricane Michael, and we're all dealing with it the best we can. Clearly, the folks in the Panhandle got the brunt of it, the worst of it, and we're going to lend a hand. With me, Sheriff's Deputy Kerry Gallup. He's a crime prevention officer. He's also a backup PIO, and he also has some other skills, and we'll get to those in just a minute. Sheriff Sadie Darnell, the Sheriff of Alachua County, is with us as well. And, Sheriff, I understand we have an active homicide investigation underway?
We do. Here in Alachua County, unfortunately, I think it was Sunday morning early or going into Saturday morning, a young man was found deceased alongside the road in the 3700 block of Southeast 15th Street. Our detectives and forensics group have been all over this, and they are developing some good leads, looking for a red Prius. A red Prius as not just a vehicle we need to check into. It's not necessarily a suspect vehicle, but we do want to find it. Anyone sees a red Prius, let us know. Don't approach it. Let us just get that information and follow up on it. But again, our detectives and forensic folks are working tirelessly and have been since this incident occurred early Monday morning. And again, happy that they're able to do that. We are very tasked at the agency with that investigation, as well as some of the hurricane deployment that we're anticipating. And then, of course, watching out for our area. We have very few trees down. As far as I know, no power outages, no flooding as of yet. But again, we're going to keep that in our forward thinking, because it's going to happen over the next 48, 72 hours. We do have a historic moment at our agency today. We're having two swearing in and promotional ceremonies. We've got a good number of new hires and then promotions as a result of the new hires, creating some upward mobility. And very happy to have that. Kerry Gallup, Art Forgy, and are the ones that are organizing it. Brett was also in charge of it, but like I said, he's in the back of a Blackhawk. But historic for our agency to have two swearing-in ceremonies because of the volume of personnel. We want to include family and coworkers to do it right.
Well, that's great. So you've got a bunch of new hires, and that's good, because I know all the agencies are really, they're fighting for hires. So the fact that you've got a good group coming in, that'll make a difference.
We are solid. We still need some people for our jail. Anybody looking for a good career in corrections, we've got positions open there, and also in communications. 911 call takers are always in a need. We will be sending some of them also to the affected area. Some of their 911 centers have either been damaged or are out of service. And plus, their personnel who have been working all this time are tired. They need to be relief. So we've got some very talented folks that we'll be sending up there to have their radios programmed to the frequencies up there, and then take care of the calls that are coming in.
That sounds good. And I mentioned Kerry Gallup earlier, one of the deputies, a crime prevention officer, backup PIO. And Kerry, I know you're also heavily involved. In fact, you run the RAD program, right?
I do. I'm the coordinator for our RAD program.
Tell us what RAD is.
So for the women, the adult program, RAD program is Rape Aggression Defense. And we tell folks that that's for women 13 and up, because we talk about some content there that we want the children to be ready for. And it is basically preventative information in the first night. We teach in the second and third night techniques. And then in the third night, we call it fight night. So they actually get to test their new skill while facing aggressors in padded suits.
Well, I like how you talk about how you started out with scenarios. In other words, using your head first, not putting yourself in a situation. That's an important part of it.
So much so, Bob. In fact, instead of telling people practice makes perfect, because to me that's a lie, we tell people that perfect practice makes perfect. So we want to get the technique down, people develop that skill and feel comfortable with it, so that when the time comes, they do it correctly.
And in a lot of these cases, unfortunately, it may be someone that you know and has even earned your trust. That's why it comes as such a shock, and why people are vulnerable.
Absolutely. In fact, most of the statistics that I've learned over 30 years in law enforcement are that it usually is someone that you feel like you should be able to trust, a family member or a close friend.
Somebody that you look up to.
Absolutely.
Coach, teacher, things like that as well. All right. So that's great. That's a great program, and you've also expanded it, and you include seniors.
RAD Seniors was an expansion of the RAD program through RAD Defense Systems, and we're teaching men and women 60 and up self-defense measures, but it's so much more than that for seniors, because a lot of them want to know, how do I make my home safe? How do I protect my identity and keep from getting scammed? What do I do with the extra drugs? So this is a 10-hour or 15-hour course taught in 10 one-and-a-half-hour increments. We've scheduled scheduled one at the Senior Rec Center. They've got these set up for starting next February, I believe. And it's a lot of fun. I learned with the last class we taught, we have an incredible group of seniors here in Alachua County. It was so much fun to teach with them.
And you adapt. I guess it's adaptive to whatever your abilities are. So don't feel like, well, I'm not that mobile or I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, you still need to be able to defend yourself, unfortunately, should it arise. And you're able to adapt the program to fit the abilities of the person.
You're absolutely right. What we really like to try to do is focus on what you do have and not what you don't have. Because we realize there's mobility problems, maybe arthritis challenges or even joint replacement challenges. Let's focus on what you have and figure out how you can use that to your best advantage, because that's really what it's going to boil down to in a critical incident.
Yeah, and without getting into the concealed carry and all those other things that people could get into classes and be properly trained for that as well, might be a situation where you need to defend yourself to get to that other self-defense mode.
Absolutely correct. That comes up a lot in all of our defense classes when people ask, what kind of weapon should I have? And, of course, I always tell people if you're wanting to get a weapon, get trained in it so that you understand weapon retention and how to use it and not hurt anybody else. Beyond that, that may not be appropriate to use a weapon in your incident, or you may not be able to get to it, depending on where you're at and when it happens. Because attacks, like we said, could happen with someone we know, oftentimes happen in places where we feel we could be safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, great information all the way around. Deputy Kerry Gallup, we appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Sheriff Sadie Darnell, thanks for informing us and letting us know what the office is up to. You guys are very, very busy, and we just want to thank you for great work.
Thank you. I want to thank our Sheriff's Association and our president, Mark Hunter, and all the sheriffs in North Central Florida who are going to be helping out in this effort. Appreciate it.
All right. It is 9:29 on the Bob Rose Show. We're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile, and we definitely could use that segment today. So start thinking of some good things that you can call in with, like I said, in about 15 minutes. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.